Hello again, everyone, and welcome to the last episode of a three-part WrestleMania weekend series of Are You Not Entertained? This is episode 159, and today's date is April 10th, 2019. My name is Carrie, and I'll be your host for the evening. And as always, I'm joined by two guys, as I said in the previous episode, that are still nursing that WrestleMania hangover, Kent and Russ. How you doing, guys?
You know, I feel really weird because I swear we just did a podcast and we don't normally do this, so it's kind of weird having this podcast again, but I'm ready to go and let's talk some WrestleMania. A lot of things happened this week. And
you two are grubby. Didn't you wash your hair between podcasts? Ew.
I used a baby wipe.
And technically, just because you don't have hair, it's still kind of gross that you didn't too.
Oh, bald joke.
And I used a baby wipe, some dry shampoo. I'm good to go.
All right. Carrie's less grubby than Russ, which we kind of
knew
beforehand.
Well, we already knew that anyway, right?
All right. First time listeners, welcome to our show where, well, we talk about all things wrestling. And in this episode, Kent, Russ, and I are going to break down the matches from this year's WrestleMania. But before we get to that, Kent, what's your moment of bliss for the week?
I have three small topics I want to talk about. Well, two small ones and a larger one. One, the orange vanilla Coca-Cola is delicious, and it's only available for a limited time. So go out there, buy it, and Coca-Cola, if you're listening, I need money. Secondly, Eric dropped the word Nergigante during WrestleMania, and I want to say that was the worst thing that I had heard Eric say in a very long time. And I want to keep in mind, I have told him at least three times this year, that's the worst thing you've said this year. But that one was the worst thing that he said this year. But it gave me and Tom and Kaylee plenty of material to get through the marathon session, if you will. So, bravo to Nergigante.
Nergigante.
Yeah, yeah. It's a thing from Monster World Hunter.
Oh.
Or Monster Hunter World.
Okay. Whatever. Yeah, I'm as lost as you are, Russ.
Look it up. It's like a fucking dragon or something. So, my third thing is actually something topical that I kind of wanted to touch on ever so briefly with all of us. The reason why this is a moment of bliss is I'm going to say bravo to Travis Brown for beating the holy shit out of that dude that attacked Brett. And I want to scold. The fans have been terrible, and they progressively get worse. I'm not just using that one guy. I'm saying the fans in general have just gotten worse and worse every year to the point where I don't think the Hall of Fame should have fans. It should just be friends, family, and wrestlers. Screw it. The fans don't deserve it. The fans are awful. They're disrespectful half the damn time. They try to get themselves over. They bring in beach balls. This is wrestling, people. I don't know. It bothers me. This whole thing left a very bad taste in my mouth, to be perfectly honest. I don't know. I feared you both wanted to chime in something.
Well,
so
I want to know why. I haven't read anything that says why the fan attacked Brett. So do you guys have any information on that?
There was a quote about it. I think I saw it on ESPN. Carrie, do you have that quote or anything? No.
No, I don't. I mean, the only thing I know is this guy was sending out some very weird tweets to not like Triple H and stuff like that before this even went down. Seems like this guy was pretty out there.
Yeah, he came from, I believe it was Lincoln, Nebraska, to do this, and it just there is a quote somewhere. I can't find it right now on ESPN, but it exists.
I say, did he have like a personal vendetta against Bret Hart? Did Bret Hart
he just
him?
Thought it was a good time to attack a wrestling legend or something like that. I was like, how much money did you waste to come here to attack a dude that's had a stroke two times? I think he's fought cancer at one point, and also take down a woman. Like, fuck, man. And then the intelligence of it all. You're doing it when the first three rows of people are all pretty much wrestlers.
Yeah, you're going to get your ass kicked.
That's a death wish. That is such a... That guy deserves many horrible things that I'm not allowed to say, or else Coca-Cola will not sponsor me, damn it.
Yeah, don't say those things. We could use that big sponsor.
Now I want the orange vanilla Coke.
Oh, well, somebody was here Sunday. Oh, but I was sick. You know what? I was sick too, Russ.
I know.
And I braved the weather to stay in my bedroom and watch WrestleMania, damn it.
I didn't wake up until 7, so, or it was a little after 7, I think. It was, I was so tired, and Jamie was sick all weekend, and Heather was sick. It was just not a good weekend. So, but the wrestling was good.
Buy it. Yeah, you should drink orange vanilla Coke with your wrestling people.
I think I will go out and buy some orange vanilla Coke now.
See, I'm already pulling in buyers, Coca-Cola. Come on.
Dana, get on that for us. Come on.
All right, guys, let's jump into the WrestleMania discussion because, quite frankly, we got a lot to unbox here. Let's start with the kickoff show. First match on the kickoff show was the Cruiserweight Championship, Tony Nese versus Buddy Murphy. Tony Nese is the new Cruiserweight Champion. All I have to say is I wish they would do more Cruiserweight matches on main shows, like on Raw or SmackDown. Get people to kind of tune into 205. I mean, they used to do that, and then they stopped. And this match is proof that you would get somebody interested in the product if you just showcased it. I thought this match was really, really good. I enjoyed all the good spots. It got me interested in the division. I just don't know if I want to watch an extra like hour and a half of, you know, 205 live. I don't know if I want to invest that time. But this match did what it needed to do to push me in the right direction. With that said, in terms of rating, I'm going to go with 7 for this one. How about you, Kent?
I want to know where Tony Nese gets his attire. I would like one of those robes that would show off my ab. You know, the funny thing is back when Raw used to actually showcase 205, featuring that who will not be spoken of, I actually did tune in every once in a while to 205 just to see what was going on, and then they just stopped. So I agree, more features. This match was good. Actually, really good opener. It was rewatchable. I would go someplace between 5.5 and a 6. Probably on the lower end. I'm probably going to go 5.6 if I'm being 100% honest. But it was fun. I enjoyed it. Good showing.
How about you, Russ?
Yeah, it was good. Definitely a good way to kick off WrestleMania because it was exciting. Fans could get into it. The only problem I have, I guess, is that, yeah, they come out of nowhere because nobody watches 205, so we don't have anything to go off of. But this was, I think the lead up to this was actually pretty good. I don't honestly know, but I've heard a few things that it was a good lead up the way they built the story, which is a shame because I don't want to watch 205. So give them the first hour in wrestling and Raw. Come on. Or give them the first 1 hour in SmackDown and make SmackDown 3 hours when it goes to Fox or something. I don't know. But
boo. No.
But overall, a really fun match. I'm so glad Tony Nese won this thing. So he deserves it, honestly. I would say, yeah, I would give it like a 5.8, 5.9. It was good. It was fun.
I feel like I'm being really generous after listening to your ratings. But then again, I like cruiserweight matches. I like the junior heavyweights. I like the flippy shit and the, you know, the high spots. And that's exactly what this match had.
Well, and Karrion, don't forget, it is opinion-based until your opinion is wrong, and then Kent will lambast you.
Like he did in the last episode. For those of you who want to hear that, go ahead, check out episode 158. Russ and I got a very stern talking to.
The power of Sami Zayn, I almost said Sami Christ, compelled me.
All right, that's a little off.
Actually, he's not that wrong.
Yeah, you know, it happened. I have no regrets.
No regrets.
All right, let's talk Women's Battle Royal. Carmella won the Women's Battle Royal. All in all, guys, I enjoyed this match. It was decent for what it was. I mean, it's a battle royale, so, you know, the expectations are pretty low. But all I have to say is I was really excited when I thought that Sarah Logan had this thing won. I was actually pissed when Carmella came up there and eliminated her and won. I was like, really? Oh, I thought it was a great... I was like, this is another good start. I mean, we're giving somebody who hasn't had a shot in the Cruiserweight title. Now, somebody who hasn't had a shot is going to win the Women's Battle Royal. This is good. This is good. This is how you make people. And then Carmella comes out of friggin' nowhere. Russ, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it was entertaining. I'll go that route. A little shocked, actually, that they had Carmella win it, but over. I'm not going to complain about it because she's been rocking it lately and she deserves a little bit of credit since she hasn't been wrestling too much lately. It was decent. I would say like a 5.2. See, I don't know if I'd ever watch it again. Maybe I should drop it. 4.8. Because I would never watch any of it again. And I was hoping Sarah Logan would win it too. I was with you on that one. But I'm okay with Carmella winning it.
Well, I mean, Sarah Logan not winning is the reason I'm giving it a 4. How about you, Kent? What did you think of this?
First of all, did Sonya, like, trip, fall? Like, what happened there? Because was that a botch?
I don't know. It looked like it.
It had to have been.
Because for a moment there, I'm like, my God. It's going to be Sarah and Sonya.
I think it was. That was tough because... Yes, Sarah and Sonya. See, why is Kent getting so mad and leaving?
I don't know why he keeps leaving. I really don't. Oh, he.
Yeah, am I back?
You are back.
Okay.
I know.
I blame Russ for really interjecting.
Keep himself. We gotta tell him he's gotta keep himself in check. You are. You gotta keep yourself in check, though, Kent. Stop.
I am in check, Russ. You know, I'm wearing your shirt, by the way, Russ, with your likeness. This is John Goodman on my shirt, so slow your fucking roll, okay? Yeah, it could have been great with Sonya and Sarah being the final two. And I'm probably the staunchest Carmella supporter here, but I was completely disappointed by that outcome. Nikki was eliminated way too freak. Was she the first one? I think she was. Either way, she was one of the first two at the very least. There were some powerhouses that were eliminated too early. No. The only thing that was great was watching this with two noobs that didn't know shit about wrestling that were making fun of it. And I'm like, oh, I can't really argue. The fascinating thing, the most fascinating takeaway from this is the different... count the amount, different colors of hair going on in this match. You had three different shades of red going on at one point between Maria, Ruby, and Liv. Plus, I think Asuka may have also had some pinkish or red going on. Like, there was a lot of color. So, if you're a fan of diversity, this match had it all.
All right, moving on. Next, we had the Raw Tag Team Championship match. Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins versus The Revival. Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins are the new Raw Tag Team Champions. This match was decent. I'm good with the ending. I'm going to say a 4. Ken, how about you?
Yeah, it did its job. Like, once again, we all know I have a raging clue for The Revival. I'm not upset that they lost this. WrestleMania should sometimes be about the moments, and it's fine. I'm not worried about The Revival. They'll be fine. They will go on. So, it's fine. Like, this was a great moment. I liked Kurt playing possum. I actually would actually rewatch it. I'm going to go right with a perfect 5, only because I would rewatch it. I thought that everybody did enough. Zack is really showing his age in the ring, though. That was very noticeable to me. He's not... God, I mean, just 5 years ago, there was a lot more spring in his step than there is nowadays. Kurt never has that kind of style. Like, so he's always that style in the revival. Honestly, their styles kind of complemented each other in a weird way. And... I mean, I know I'm kind of jumping the gun here, but... we're going to get Revival and Uso soon, right? Like, that's going to be happening, you think?
I hope so.
I think so.
I need that in my life. If I can't get the Briscoes versus the Usos, can I at least get the Revival versus the Usos? Or if, since I can't get the Revival versus the Young Bucks in my life, I would like the Usos versus the Revival.
Yeah, it's a
life.
Shame that the Revival can't work against No Talent Hacks, only Super Kick. Hey, Russ! Oh, you're gone again.
Somebody,
you know, I had like that great like little speech right there to and toss it off to Russ, and he's just nah.
Somebody said Seth Rollins was in the room and he's trying to search for him.
Yeah, see, I never know if it's my end where, like, you know, because for some reason my internet likes cutting out on Wednesday nights, so that's a thing. How about we talk about the men's, and when Russ comes back, he can regale us with his opinion on both this match and the next match.
That sounds good. Let's go to the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal and discuss Braun Strowman winning. I saw the ending of this match coming from a mile away. I really did. I knew it was going to be him and the two SNL guys. And I don't know. I just... didn't find it fun or interesting, so I would have to say this was a 3.5 for me. What are your thoughts, Kent?
This was my least favorite match by far of the night. I did not like this match, and there's another match I really didn't like either, but this match, not at all entertaining. This was a shit show. The best part was seeing Luke Harper, who then possibly injured Ali. Like, I kind of enjoyed that in the sickest of pleasure. I mean, he was the one that was down, right? Like, even after the match, they were checking on somebody. I'm pretty sure it was Ali.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. It was great to see Luke back, but yeah. If I don't ever want to watch this match again. What purpose did it serve? At the end of the day, did it serve? It didn't get anybody over. It wasted a lot of time, and the SNL guys were so unlikable. But it didn't help. Like, Braun wasn't going to get any more over from this. So I think it failed on every level of failure. So I'm going to give this a 2.3, and I'm feeling very generous in that mark. Russ, are you back?
Sorry about that. you know, I just thought of something that we're coming up to very soon, and it got me a little excited, so I apologize.
Wasn't that sweatshirt a plaque a minute ago?
this took entirely too long, but I think that was the whole point of it, because they needed to kill a little bit of time there, so I think that was the reason why it took so long, but... the ending was pretty predictable and stupid. I hated this from the beginning of when they started teasing it to us. They didn't build this thing up at all. Yay, Luke came back. That's great. He didn't injure Mustafa so seriously that he couldn't wrestle again later that week, so that's good.
Russ, do you realize how bad it is? I'm not even making fun of you that you have to say they had to buy some time. On a 7.5-hour show, they need to buy time. You realize how bad that is?
I don't want to say buy time, but you know what I mean. Like, they needed this to be longer.
I do. I agree with you. It's just a sad state of affairs.
Yes. Overall, a three. I tuned out almost the entire time. And I don't find these two guys as SNL guys that funny, honestly. And... yeah, it was stupid. Andrade, what, he was there for what, like 2 minutes? I know he's.
I think he had like an orange vanilla Coke, and then he was gone.
Yeah, exactly. So, So there you go.
Yep. And there you go, listeners. Those are our thoughts on the kickoff show. Let's move to the main show. And this first match discussion is brought to you by the Weekly Rollins Roundup. Russ, I'm just going to kick it to you because I know you are dying to talk about this match.
I sure am. Not just dying, but well, I've got myself calmed down a little bit. All right. So the Rollins Roundup. So this week, Seth Rollins goes into WrestleMania looking to take Brock Lesnar on and become the Universal Champion and bring the Raw Red Belt home. So, comes out to a thunderous applause. Little shocked that this was the first match, and I do want to ask you guys about that, but after the Rollins report, I'll ask you guys. The first match, a little bit of a shock, but hey, good. All right, curtain jerker needs to be exciting, right? And then Seth gets the crap kicked out of him before the bell. And this, I'm not going to lie to you guys, was a terrible match. This was stupid. These two could have easily had a classic. And it turned out to be just a, nope, I'm going to beat the crap out of you before the match. Not even have a real match, but I'll beat the crap out of you to get my lickings in. And then we will have a couple of suplexes and then like three curb stomps in a row with low blow. That was stupid. Terrible. Dumb. The match is horrible. I am very disappointed by this match. It was awful. Now, for my rating, it's an 8.5 best match of the weekend because Seth Rollins is the new Red Belt Champion. In fact, I'm going to start calling it the Universal Championship Belt because he deserves it. 8.5, baby. That was so good about this.
And now I'll get my thoughts in.
Give your thoughts. Can I, 1 second? I have to ask you this. Did you hear
Jesus Goodman?
Did you hear that this wasn't supposed to happen right away? That they changed it last minute? Do you guys have heard why? I didn't hear anything why.
I didn't hear why. All I heard was basically, it was a decision made at like 5 or 5:30 by Vince.
Right. It was really late. Like, I don't know why they decided to change it. I was hoping someone might know. But we're not insiders.
Yeah. I only know what I read online, and even half the time I don't believe it. But as for this match, it was, for a title match, which is supposed to be one of the company's big titles, seriously, why do they keep paying Brock Lesnar? He doesn't, he's just there for the money. He doesn't do anything. And this match was proof of it. It was ridiculous. I'm happy with the result, but this match wasn't enjoyable for me. So I'm going to say 5.5, and that additional half is because they did the right thing and put the belt on Seth. Kent?
This was the worst match on Mania card. It told a story that wasn't very good. The best part of the whole thing really was Bliss and Hogan celebrating, and then Heyman just came out. And if you guys didn't laugh at that, I don't know. Like, we were dying laughing. Heyman just coming out, like, fucking storming out. That was one of the highlights of Mania for me. And the low blow after low blow, I'm not mad at Brock. I'm never mad at Brock. It's not a Brock issue. It's a WWE issue. This has never been more clear. They booked this match. I'm sure it wasn't Brock going, you know what, guys? I just want to work a 5-minute match where I don't do much and I get a low blow. I'm sure that really wasn't what Brock wanted to kind of go out on. I would imagine Brock probably would have rather had a good match versus somebody that we know he's capable of having a good match with because we've seen it twice already. So, yeah, this could have and should have been better, and I don't agree with the title change. It didn't feel important at all. Seth is not an important guy. He's just not.
You speak blasphemy, sir, and it's disturbing. Disturbing.
I know one ginger that would agree with me.
Yeah, but that ginger.
He said a lot of good things. A lot of things I agree with. And I think one of the things he said, Russ is going to touch on in, when I ask him this question. Russ, is it mild?
Ah, the good old quintessential question, Carrie. So, is it mild? So, this segment here for me, I get both my segments in a row. It's kind of weird. This segment here is a segment I take from one of the wrestling shows, and I say, is it a wrestling segment for the wrestling fan? And I judge it based off of this hot sauce flavors. So, of course, we have the mild, and mild is not really. It's not a really big wrestling segment that we like. Then there's the medium. The medium, of course, is always, you know, it's okay. It's got a piece here and there, but for the most part, whatever. Then we got the hot sauce. Now we're talking. Now it's a wrestling segment. We're enjoying this stuff. And then, of course, we have the Shield Brothers suicide. The extremely hot suicidal. And that's just awesome, amazing sauce, everything. Now, I'm going to spoil one match already for everybody, but I'm pretty sure it's already been spoiled. So at Raw, we had Seth Rollins come out with a celebration with a huge pop. Great for him. Came out to talk about how he was probably going to be a fighting champion, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Honestly, I can't remember. But then Kofi comes out to a thunderous applause as well, interestingly enough. And it wasn't just Kofi. It was New Day. Comes out and basically he claims he wants to have a match for, you know, so winner take all. And at this point, we are going to get something that should be exciting because as a wrestling fan, we all know this isn't going to end cleanly. All right. So we're all, I'd say, ooh, what are they going to treat us to? Because it's the Raw after WrestleMania. We're thinking, who are we getting? Who's going to interrupt this match? Who's going to make this great? So the match starts. Starts out pretty decently. The two have actually pretty decent chemistry with each other. And it's rolling around. It's rolling on nicely. And then it hits. 10 minutes before the end of the show, about 10:50, the bar comes out. And this is what confuses me. The bar? There are big, ooh, this is what's going to stop this? Oh, WWE, you totally effed this up. Oh, I was pissed. I was hoping for something big. And I love Cesaro. And we used to call him Cesaro, right? Yeah, Cesaro. I love Cesaro. And I should have, and the match was good. I was just so ticked off that they gave us this good, decent start to a decent match. And cut it off 10 minutes early just to put it as a tag team match for the champions. This was stupid. And I hate doing this, but since it's segments and not necessarily Seth himself, I have to go mild on this. I was really ticked off the way they handled this. They could have handled it so much better. And they didn't. Screw you, WWE, for ruining Monday Night Raw after Mania. So this was a mild segment for me, guys.
And the rest of the fans in the arena, too.
Oh, they were pissed.
Oh, the poor fans. Those poor, poor, poor fans. My heart, my sympathy, everything goes out to them. They deserve so much more.
They just had a decent show the night before.
That they were blinded by?
Yes! And we'll talk about that match next, because that happened during the next match. I mean, it happens every Raw after WrestleMania. The crowd always goes into business for themselves. And it was funny at first, but now it's just getting ridiculous. And I just wish some of these overzealous fans would keep AEW out of their mouths. Stop it. Just stop.
I agree too, but just to keep it out of their mouths because I don't want to hear about it.
Can we just have a pro wrestling audience that is remotely respectful? Like, would that be asking too much?
Apparently, it is to the fans that were at Raw Monday night. I'm just not amused by this anymore. It was funny at first.
It was funny 10 years ago. Yeah, it was funny when they booed the shit out of Roman when he beat Taker. It was funny when they booed the shit out of Cena or they cheered Miz. Like, that stuff's fine, but...
Random shit for the sake of chanting random shit is ridiculous.
Plus, I also decided on Sunday there needs to be a book written about when it's appropriate for a chant because the "this is awesome." No. You're saying "this is awesome" on things that are mediocre. So no. And the fans dropped the ball on Tuesday and Monday when Big E did the split. Instead of, like, they should have been chanting "holy split." It was a perfect opportunity to do a chant, and they failed. This is how you know that we're dealing with idiots in the crowd. Just saying.
Yep. Kind of wish most of them were blinded by the light.
I like everything you just said.
Let's talk about AJ Styles versus Randy Orton with AJ Styles picking up the win. I enjoyed this match. I wouldn't say I'd watch it again, but it was enjoyable for me. Because I could actually, unlike some of the fans in the MetLife Stadium, I could actually see this match. So I'm going to say a 6. What do you think, Kent?
Really liked it. One of my favorite matches of the night, no doubt. I don't want to say it did or didn't live up to expectations. I tried not having expectations going into this because... That's a fatal flaw of most fans coming in with expectations, especially for a big show, because most of the time you're going to get, you know, AJ versus Shinsuke like last year. And it just, it doesn't pan out no matter what effort's being put in. It doesn't pan out to expectations by and large. This was fun. I had a lot of fun with it. Who won? Was it AJ that won?
Yeah, AJ won.
Okay, it was fine. Like, I liked everything that they did. I'd give it a 6.7. I was happy. Would rewatch it.
How about you, Russ?
I like how Carrie said she probably wouldn't rewatch it, but then gave it a 6. 5 is the cutoff, Carrie. 5 is where you're like, eh, I might rewatch it.
My cutoff is 7. You got to really impress me for me to want to watch it again.
Wow. Okay.
Carrie, shame.
And there's only been one match in the past year that I have rewatched, and that was Okada versus Omega 4.
So you spent basically 2.5 hours watching one match?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So,
hey, you would do it for Seth.
Well, yeah. That's for other reasons, though, Carrie. Other dark reasons that we don't want to go into. Or... clue-inducing, you know, reasons.
Russ, how the hell did you go your whole segment without mentioning the fist bump?
That's you.
Like, you went, like, 5 minutes. Oh, yeah, because you didn't message me, will they, as it was going on.
So I did it because I knew you'd be happy to I knew you'd be happy if I said that. I forgot about it, too, to tell you the truth. All right, so... match. Randy, okay, I'm not a huge Randy Orton fan. I've been very clear about that on this podcast, but this was a good match. These two, the lead up to it was excellent. The match itself delivered, and again, it's AJ Styles. This felt more like an old AJ Styles that we haven't seen since he's had the belt. It feels like the person who has the belt in WWE has to play it super safe. I feel like that's something that they have to do. Maybe it's a WWE policy. But since AJ became champion, he had good matches, but nothing great. This felt like a step up from everything he's done in a long time. And maybe it's because Randy was his, against him, because Randy's great overall. But this was good. It was fast when it needed to be, slowed down just the right amount just to get us, you know, a breather, and the guys a breather to really deliver a strong finish. I liked everything about this match. It was really good. I would definitely give it a rewatch because it was also not a very long match. But it was like 15 minutes. Perfect. 6.3, I'd say.
Yeah. So let's move on to the SmackDown Tag Team Championship match. We had the Usos versus The Bar versus Ricochet and Aleister Black versus Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura. Usos retain in this match. Another match that I enjoyed. I don't know if I'd watch it again. I might. I'm kind of on the fence like I was with the AJ Randy Orton match, but the thing I liked about this match was, yes, the Usos retained, and that was fine with me, but Enzo and Cass didn't come out at the end for some random stupid shit. It was actually a good ending. It was my second four-way tag team match, and I was hoping for no Enzo and Cass, and I did not get that, which makes me happy, and will, as a result, I will give it a 6. How about you, Russ?
I actually really enjoyed this match. This was great. Lots of fun, especially in the beginning with Cesaro and Sheamus getting that at least a minute spin on Ricochet. That had to go for a minute. That was impressive. And the 10 beats of the Bowery kept on going on that. Or the Bowery, sorry. That was really good. Every team here got a moment to shine, and that's really a key. And every team here was really good. I actually enjoyed, even though it was stupid, we all know it comes, I actually enjoyed the huge all teams trying to do that big flip, and then Ricochet somehow flipping all the way over and across. That was awesome. I thought that was really good. So every team here got a chance to shine. It was really fun. This, to me, actually, I thought was a little bit better than Randy and AJ. At this point in the night, I was really happy with what was going on. So I'm going to say this was a 6.5 for me. This was really fun. Usos deserved to keep the belt. It's a good notch for them, and I think this is the first time they've retained at WrestleMania. So this now they've gone in, now they've gone in and retained. They can't ask for much more than that.
Kent, how about you?
I don't think I enjoyed it as much as you guys. That's not to say that I'm not going to give it a, you know, probably like 6.2. There were spots that I liked. I openly groaned at the corner spot because I could go my lifetime without seeing another one of these stupid coordinated corner spots that just, who cares? And like, I don't care anymore. We get it. You're all waiting for each other. Pretend like this is an NXT women's match or some shit, okay? We get it. With that being said, as Russ pointed out, everybody got a chance to shine. That is the most important part when it comes to these. And, you know, to counter the G1 match, I never thought God got a chance to shine. And that was one of the more disappointing aspects of that match, aside from the those who I will not name. This was fun. I'm fine with the team that won. Not okay with what happened last night, but that's a whole other thing and a whole other rant for another time. So yeah, 6.3. So far, we're off to a very good Mania minus the opening match, which was only questionable due to booking.
Next up, we had Shane McMahon versus The Miz in a false count anywhere match. Shane McMahon picking up the win. This match was just okay for me, guys. That's really all I have to say about it. I mean, yeah, the spot at the end was decent, but I don't know. I just couldn't get into it. Probably because I couldn't get into the feud to begin with. So I'm going to say 4.5. Kent?
Yeah, not getting into the feud also affected my viewing of this. I can't use the term, like, technically sound, because this was never a match meant to be technically sound. It was a brawl, and as a brawl, it was fine. When I think of brawls, I don't think of The Miz, and I guess I'm, you know, a month later, I'm still struggling with The Miz being this badass that can take out Sanity, with this badass brawler now. Like, I'm really struggling with it. It's not working for me. He's doing everything he can. It's just not working for me. The big spot was a big spot was a big spot onto a pile of foam and other stuff. Yay. I mean, ooh. I mean, it was what it was. I don't think I'd rewatch it, but for what it was, I'll go 4.9. It was as good as it was going to get for something I don't intend on rewatching.
How about you, Russ?
See, now for me on this one, I had no interest in this match going in at all. So I was scantily paying attention at first. But here was the nice thing. I was behind a little bit because I started a little late. So I got to fast forward. So I had missed commercials all the way up to this point. So this is great. I didn't have to watch any of the promo crap. I could go right to the entrances and go from there. And I think that helped me out a lot here because as the match progressed, I kind of got into it a little bit. They did a good job in the match. The lead up to it was utter garbage, except for the one fire promo from The Miz that I thought was really good. I can't say it was garbage because I thought Shane was healing it up fantastically. He was a great heel. He's been a great heel. I love this asshole, arrogant thing he's doing here. The cruel asshole. So I like the individual performances, but overall the feud's been terrible. I think that's the big problem. But this match really delivered, I thought. So my interest in the match coming out of it was like, wow, that was actually really fun. And that's what helped. And yes, I know that big spot at the end was definitely into foam, but they played it off really well. The Miz took the chance. The Miz got that awesome move. And since they didn't show us, we have no idea if they actually landed that way. But with Shane landing the way he did, and it being fall counts anyways, it was a perfect way to end it. I won't go much more than a 5.1 or 2 because I don't know if I'd rewatch this again. That's a tough one. But from what I was left with, or what I started off with and what I was ended with, I was at least impressed saying, hey, this isn't bad. So I'll say a 5.1.
You know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of, remember how bad AJ versus Owens was? Like, they were both great individually, but combined it didn't work. That's how I felt this whole situation's been. Both have been good if you analyze them individually, but together it didn't work.
Yeah, well, it was just, they didn't click together, yeah.
And I'll say this, because I was watching with two people that don't follow wrestling, they did not tell a story, because those two were completely fucking out of it. I think it's a different way to look at it when you're watching with people that don't know anything. It's interesting to see what engages them because, you know, different things engage us versus them. No, mentally completely checked out during this. So, bad storytelling, I think.
Very much so. Very much so. All right, guys, let's move on to the Women's Tag Team Championship match. We have the Iconics versus the Boston Hug Connection versus Beth Phoenix and Natalya versus Nia Jax and Tamina. The Iconics are the new Women's Tag Team Champions. I just want to say I love the Iconics. I love them so much. I love them more now than I did before, and I don't know how that's possible. So the match was decent. I love the outcome. I'm going to say 5. Russ?
Okay, I love the outcome, but everything else on this was just eh. I will say this, it wasn't bad. Because at this point, I was still riding high and everything else has been happening up to this point. So this wasn't bad, but it wasn't good. It was sloppy. There were moments, and again, there's moments like they just botched the crap out of things. And instead of just rolling with the botch or fixing it quickly, it felt like they kept on trying to fix things and not do the screw up. It was just so choppy at some points. Now, with that said, there were some definite cool moments. And I hate giving Botch Phoenix any credit, but I really thought the, what is it called? The Phoenix Bomb? I can't remember. What the hell is their finisher?
Phoenix Splash?
Phoenix Splash, thank you. I knew it was Phoenix something. I can't remember. The Phoenix Splash, that actually looked really devastating this time around. to whoever she did it to, and I loved how the Iconics tagged in and got in there. So happy the Iconics won. I loved them on SmackDown. They were fantastic. And I would say the match-wise, because the Iconics won, I'm going to keep it above a 4. I'll say like 4.2, 4.3.
How about you, Kent?
I mean, I wouldn't kick it out of bed, but I'm not calling it back the next day. I mean, really, doesn't that kind of sum up the whole damn match? I remember at one point we'd gone like 2 minutes without a botch, and I wrote that to Twan, and seriously, within 5 seconds, there was a botch, and I remember writing back like something like, oops, spoke too soon. It was what we expected, right? Like, I can't sit here and say I'm surprised by anything that happened other than they did the right thing. Which is a common theme. I'm shocked that they did the right thing by and large for the whole night, I thought. I'd give the match only like a 3.5, but I would rewatch the ending. So like, when I say rewatch, like in a few years, I may rewatch this show again and fast forward through certain things. And by and large, I'll fast forward through the match and wait for the ending. And I will say this. There are two great videos on WWE.com. I linked them in my SmackDown 5 Count blog at 9deuce.com/blogs/. They're at the bottom. One of them is the Iconics going around to various wrestlers showing off their new the plates on their belt. It's like 8.5 minutes of greatness. Like, so many people that, like, it's just hilarious. Plus, Heath and Drew were hanging out together, so 3MB. And then there was another video. There was them, like, talking about Paige's challenge. So if you love the Iconics, go visit that blog. Go click on those links. Don't go to WWE.com. Go to my thing first, then go through me to get to them.
Yeah, it's so much easier to do that. Trust us.
Honestly, it really is.
In the fact that if you go to WWE.com right now, have fun trying to sift through everything and finding
that
what you're looking
for.
So much content. Which makes sense given the weekend we just had. Let's move on, guys. Let's talk WWE Championship match. Kofi Kingston versus Daniel Bryan. Kofi Kingston is the new WWE Champion. This was my match of the night. This match was everything it needed to be. It told a story. You could just feel the emotion both in the arena and just within the ring outside. It was good. I haven't been this emotionally invested in a match since, well, Okada versus Omega 4.
Broken record.
I'm just saying, usually matches, I do not get emotionally invested in matches that don't involve my favorite wrestlers. But this one drew me in. Like, I was at the point after the women's tag team where I was like, I think I'm going to go to bed. I'm way too tired. I know I'm not going to make it to the end of the show. This match came in. I'm like, I have to watch this. And I'm so glad I did. I'm so happy for Kofi. And also, in true emotionally invested tradition, I actually teared up a little bit when he raised that title. I was very happy for him. He well deserved. What do you think, Russ?
First of all, it was a little odd that I thought they put this on a little bit too early, but this was smart booking. This was the one where they needed the crowd reaction, and by the end of the night, I don't think they would have gotten it. I was really shocked. I think what time did this go off? About 9 o'clock, right? 9:15? So, there was still 3 more hours more of this. So,
this was the last of the crowd reaction, wasn't it?
Almost. I thought Batista and Triple H got some, but we'll talk about that. This was the biggest emotional payoff. And I don't know if maybe that's what killed the crowd afterwards, but if this went on last, I don't think it would have got as much a reaction. But this was good. And I'd want to say this. It was a little sloppy at first, but this is the difference between the guys and the gals in this case. When the guys did a couple of slip-ups here and there, it was quickly fixed, and you couldn't even tell it was a botch. So there's the difference between these guys. This was, the story leading up to this was fantastic. The match itself told a story, a fantastic story. They played it off perfectly. It was everything we wanted. And because we were so sure, I was positive that we weren't going to get something we wanted. I had gotten everything I wanted up to this point. I thought for sure this is where they were going to F us. Now, I should have thought about it because now in hindsight, if they had F'd the crowd at this point, the rest of the night would have been a horrible, horrible experience, I think. No matter what, because the crowd would have turned. So thinking back, they put it on early, this early, we should have known he was going to win. And he did. This was fantastic. Daniel Bryan deserves let me put it this way. He put a clinic on what it's like to be a heel. Perfectly. Throughout the entire time, he played this perfectly. The match was fantastic. And I won't lie. I did tear up a little. I was fighting back tears because when Kofi won it, this was emotionally great. Exactly what you want. Someone who deserves a chance got it. And his kids coming in and him just, he was truly happy. And Daniel played the perfect heel to it because there was a lot of times I was like, oh crap, they're going to do it. Oh, so many near falls that were well done. Match-wise, honestly, if you're just looking at the match itself, I would say maybe it was a 6.2, 6.3. But with the emotional baggage it brought along with it, I'm going to give this up to a 7.8. That's how big I thought it was for me. Like, it really brought me up there. I was very happy by the end of this. Very happy.
Yeah, I mean, I gave it a 8.5. I mean, it really was just everything it needed to be and more. What do you think, Kent?
I think there's a few peas left in the bowl for me to try.
Yeah, go try.
Fucking nom 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 there. Jesus Christ here. So, what, ladies and gentlemen, the Russ fucking theory. A botch isn't a botch when they play it off that it's not a botch. Somehow I still know that it's a botch, but I'm telling you that you wouldn't know that it's a botch. That's the theory right there, right? Right?
Well, okay.
Because it makes no sense. This.
Okay, let me rephrase that. You know it's a botch. Like, the girls were botching it because they stalled trying to refix it. The guys don't always do that. So if it is a botch, yes, it's a botch, but the guys just roll along with it.
So just call them, you know, fucking Bounty, the quicker fixer, picker right, upper, so they're shit, man.
Like, they're Bounty.
Yeah. I really don't have anything else to add to this conversation, unfortunately. I would love to have said something more, but I'm going to give it a 7.2. There's nothing more for me to add. Let's move on.
Could you add one thing? Were you emotionally, like, or because there's two non-wrestling fans, or you kind of had to check back?
Two non-wrestling fans, you can't get emotionally invested. We were sitting there making jokes about other things.
Okay.
So there was no emotion other than laughter going on because of the situation. Had I been watching it by myself, it would have affected me differently. Here, I'll add this. Fans, get on board and start cheering for Cesaro because he's the next guy that needs this opportunity. Cesaro's the guy.
Absolutely. I'm willing to do that. Let's give him a chance and let's get him up there.
Maybe that's where they're heading with this whole Bar and New Day thing. I thought
about that in my blog at nineduce.com.
Oh, you did? Oh. No, I know where I saw it.
Yeah, it's new. It's fresh. Funky fresh.
Very funky. Very fresh. And a good read as well. And with that, let's talk about something that's not so good. Let's talk about the United States Championship. We had Samoa Joe versus Rey Mysterio. Samoa Joe retaining the title in what I believe was a 30-second match. I can't rate this one. I just can't. It was too short. Kent, what are your thoughts?
This is unpopular opinion, but I liked it. I liked it a lot. I liked that A, didn't waste my time.
because I didn't want Rey Mysterio wasting my time. I didn't think he deserved the spot to begin with. It made Joe look like a complete and utter badass. Like, how am I supposed to complain about something that did everything that I wanted to accomplish and saved time? I can't be mad at that. I'm sorry. And I know that I'm hypocritical because I bitch so much about the Dalton Castle Roosh match, but in all fairness, it was the same move applied three times. It was three drop kicks. That was the match. At least this had moves. So, for what it was, yeah, I would rewatch it again and get a good chuckle out of it. I'm giving it a 5.1. It doesn't deserve it, but I admit I would rewatch it. Guilty pleasure.
How about you, Russ?
Okay, it was stupid, but to be fair, this match was never going to get off of its feet. So honestly, it was a good 5-10 minute break for the audience, and it did exactly what it needed to do. It made Joe look like a badass. Rey, yeah, he didn't get much to go on, but let's face it, Rey doesn't need this. He doesn't care. I mean, he might care a little bit. He doesn't want to get squashed, but
he was working injured, though, too, right?
I think so. I think he got injured on SmackDown or something like that. So they had to play this one off quick. And I don't know. It wasn't bad. Rey got to have a cool entrance. It was so much better than his original one back when he won the title. It wasn't bad. I wouldn't go much more than a 4 for the match because it wasn't anything. But it did what it needed to do, and it kept things... It gave a break in between what was coming next and the title match. Where if it wasn't there, I don't know if this next match would have been as good as it was.
Yeah, the placement on the card was very key. And that's another reason. I know it's unpopular, but you have to give props that they paced this card. All things considering the length of it, they did the pacing as reasonable as possible. Like, if you had to do a 7.5 hour card, you know, you'd kind of be hard pressed to pace it much better. I feel.
True. All right, guys, let's move on. We have in the next match, Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre. Roman Reigns picking up the win. I thought Drew, from what I saw of it, and keep in mind, in true Roman Reigns match tradition, this put me to sleep. I fell asleep at this point. I felt bad falling asleep. But from what I saw of it before I conked out for the night, Drew really shined. Really shined. So I can't rate it, but I say that's a positive coming out and a positive in the right direction. What do you think, Russ?
This is where WWE did it again the right way. It's like a miracle. They've nailed everything perfectly on this. That short match in between Daniel Bryan and this one saved this match a little bit, I think. This is where the audience started to fall a little bit, though. I don't think it was the match's fault. Drew shined, which is what needed to happen, and Roman won, which needed to happen. So Drew looked great. Roman gets the win. It's a win. The match was decent. I thought it was fun. Overall, I enjoyed it. The only thing I didn't enjoy was that the fans were starting to boo Roman, and I don't like that. Not now. Not after what he's gone through. So, screw you, fans, okay? Stop being assholes. Overall rating, I would say this was like a 5.1, 5.2. I liked it.
How about you, Kent?
This wasn't only the point where you fell asleep. This was the point where my friends left and left me all alone. Also was a piss break. The pacing was amazing. Drew shined. Roman won. LOL. It is what it is. I'm either going to sit here and come off like a cynical bastard and say Roman didn't deserve to win and blah, 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 and whatever. The fact is Drew deserved Seth's spot. That's indisputable. The fact that he didn't get Seth's spot, I'm fine with him putting Roman over in a major way. So, 5.3. I'm not bitter about it. Just, yeah, the crowd was... crowd inevitably was starting to get a little tired.
Yeah, the reactions were starting to waver. That was for sure.
Oh, wait, none of us mentioned Drew's amazing entrance. That was so freaking phenomenal.
Yes, I forgot about that.
That was good, but then I remembered that usually the NYPD band that they used, and I said this to Eric as I was watching the entrance, that's usually a group of Irish guys. Drew McIntyre is Scottish.
Listen, Kerry.
Shame on you, WWE.
Listen, Kerry. Beggars can't
but
be choosers.
Bagpipes are Scottish.
Yeah.
They can be Irish, too.
Yeah, bagpipes but, I mean, if you're... I mean, I feel it's a fair thing that between Ireland and Scotland being so close, I feel... And their music being very close.
I was just being a nitpicky fan. I needed something to be picky about, and I couldn't pick on Roman, so...
But the entrance was actually really fun. I liked it. I thought it was really neat.
No, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good entrance. I was just like, huh.
Jeez, Kerry. I mean, everybody here who had their boy and do something major this weekend raised their hand. Oh. Well, two of us did.
Hey. Mine doesn't wrestle until May 25th, and he's wrestling Chris Jericho.
It'd be cooler if it was May 19th.
Hmm. Kane.
Then we'd see no evil.
Okay, Kerry, I'm just going to say this. Unless Jericho... he's got himself into shape, and he could have. I don't think Jericho's in wrestling form anymore. So, I mean, he could have got himself into shape again. I don't know. But the last time I saw him, he was...
He was drinking well on the Fozzy Tour.
Yeah, well, he's drinking well beyond the Fozzy Tour, too, because... Listen, I'm not complaining. I love Jericho. But his prime is done, so I don't think the match is going to be as great as you hope.
Hey, no, super long podcast. Are we really going to talk about a guy that wasn't on the card?
No, we're not. All right. So, guys, I'm going to lean on you for the next five matches. No, four matches. Ugh, this card. All right. So, I'm going to introduce them. You guys talk them. You guys rate them. And I'm just going to learn. Next match, we had Triple H versus Batista in a no-holds-barred match. Triple H picking up the win. Kent, talk to me.
Entrances. Batista's was fine. Triple H's was so freaking stupid. Just terrible entrance. Poor Big Dave. He tripped getting into the ring. And that was the most Big Dave thing that he could have done, in all fairness. And I liked the match. I liked the pacing of it. It was... a good story. I know some people didn't like it. I really liked it. I'll even give most of the meal to Russ. I will say this. I feel like Batista should have won. I feel he should have taunted Triple H for not being able to go in ring anymore. And I feel that this should have led to a feud eventually with Randy Orton. And then Randy could have been the last Evolution member standing. I think this could have been a much bigger and better arc. But... you know, maybe Dave didn't want to do it, maybe whatever the case may be. I walked away. I liked this a lot. I gave it a 6.8. I like violence, so.
You walked away, huh? Did you walk alone, though?
That song's been in my head a lot, and yeah. Between, and Russ, I feel you're going to talk about it the same way. The nose ring... Yeah.
I heard about this.
Okay, well, if it's my turn.
Okay. Yes, it is.
Yeah, Triple H's entrance was really dumb. I liked the car. Don't get me wrong. I thought the car was great. But the whole beginning part was stupid.
It served no purpose. Like, was there a story behind
exactly.
it?
Yeah, exactly. Why? If they're going to do that, they need to make it much more in the arena, not whatever the hell they were doing up on the screen. That was just stupid.
I thought they would tie it to Motorhead. That's what I was thinking all along, and they didn't.
It was odd. I felt so... There was one flaw to this match, and it was just Batista tripping. And it was barely a trip. He didn't fall on his face, so he saved himself. But that was the biggest flaw to this match. Whoever doesn't like this match, you are not a WWE fan at all. because this match, the build-up to this match was fantastic. Were you expecting these two to put on a goddamn clinic in wrestling? You're an idiot, okay? Because these guys are old, and they're from an era where it was more about the violence. And that's what they brought to this match. This was fantastic storytelling. I told Kent this earlier in the week. Batista has become a master. I don't know what happened, because I'm not the... And you can check this out. I am not that big of a Batista fan. I've never been a big Batista fan. I hated him when he was up with Daniel Bryan. I was like, why is he getting this? Screw him. Him coming back and him doing what he did, this short run, has been nothing short of masterful. Masterful. And I don't know if it's because he got the acting lessons or whatever, but he is definitely a thespian, and he has definitely honed his skill in the ring just for protection. I will go with the nose ring.
So is Sonya.
Yes. She's gotten really good. But with the nose ring thing, it was obvious he was never going to pull out the real nose ring, because that would be super painful and impossible to do. But the way Batista was trying to grab it to push it off, hid his nose well enough to get the nose ring, to get it all set up, that was so well done, because it looked as painful as it did, and Batista played it perfectly. His face wasn't too, oh my God, but it was just enough like, yeah, he's obviously in pain, and they did the pull perfectly. That was one of, right there to me, and they did it so close, and they did it so well, that to me right there kind of set the tone for this. I wasn't looking for a 5-star match. I was looking for something that was going to be fun and violent, and they delivered that. This was great. And the end was perfect. Yes, I like Kent's idea, but I don't think Batista was ever going to have it. I think he just wanted to have one last match to let him go out on the terms he wanted to go out on. It was great, and I love the ending. Ric Flair coming out and getting that extra sledgehammer. Perfect. Excellent. Storytelling from this one was great. This is a clinic on how you should be as a heel, honestly, and how, you know, just delivering a story. This told a story, a great story. I'd say this was a 6.2, 6.3. Match-wise, it wasn't great, but it told a great story.
This was the best story of the night, right?
Overall, and there were a lot of good stories going on here. This was the best one.
Yeah, I mean, this outdid Kofi and Daniel on story, which is kind of hard to do, but story-wise, I mean, in-ring couldn't.
And emotional payoff, it didn't either. But story-wise, this killed everything throughout the entire weekend.
How do you have an emotional payoff when the feud is based off of give me what I want?
What I really, really want.
Give me what I want. It was
what I really, really want.
You know what's funny, though? It was just so well... Even from that, he did so little, but he did so much through the entire feud. It's so amazing how well they did with it. So kudos to both these guys. I enjoyed this. This was fun. And
Did this match perk you up to help you get through
the rest of it? And it got the crowd, too. The crowd kind of jumped back in with this. I thought the crowd really liked it. And I loved it. And it got me back into WrestleMania, which was great because I was starting to fade a little bit. It was out to about 11 o'clock at this point. But the big thing for me was it made me want more. I really wish Batista would come back now and give us more. But I don't think he is. I think he's done. And damn, shame, because I hated him up to this point, and now he's done it. He's figured out how to do this, and he could be one of the best.
Can I interrupt and say that we skipped over something that was probably one of the biggest highlights of the night?
Are you talking about Elias and the Doctor of Thuganomics?
Yeah, we totally...
Oh, we shouldn't have skipped over that. That's definitely worth talking about.
That was one of the three most memorable things of the night for me.
I heard about it. Didn't see it, so I can't speak to it. But I heard about it.
Well, Carrie... All I can say is three different Eliases all performing simultaneously was a thing of beauty. And I don't remember the last time Cena got a pop like that. It's been years. I honestly think it's been years because it's the one version of Cena that everybody can get behind. It was the loudest pop in at least 5 years. So it was just pure entertainment. That's all. Like, this was another thing that Mania needed. They needed that pure entertainment moment. This delivered.
And they did it at the right time. This was good top to bottom. Elias was amazing. Cena was amazing. I actually liked the whole Babe Ruth thing at first. At first, I was like, what the hell are they doing? I mean, I knew it was Cena coming out, but I didn't realize what they're doing, calling the shot. That's when I finally was like, okay, yep. And Cena nailed it. I hope he comes back as the Doctor of Thugonomics and stays that for a little bit. This was good. So much fun.
Those little kids will be buying his shirts off the rack.
Yep.
They'll say F you. Yeah. That's happening.
So this was good. The only thing I didn't like was that Elias didn't get any chance to respond afterwards. But
all things considering, he had a pretty solid 24 hours.
Yes.
Getting beat up by Cena and Taker.
Okay. If there's anybody who is a golden boy right now, it's got to be Elias, right? He gets Cena and Taker in two nights in a row.
I love his face when Taker's music hit on Raw. It was basically the look of, oh shit, what have I done?
True. It was classic. He's got to be a golden boy. The only thing is, he doesn't wrestle.
Well, neither does Bliss until Monday. I mean, sometimes I think WWE realizes in order for their product to work, they need some entertaining factors. They need people that can just talk to help move along things. Elias, Bliss, KO, you know, Jericho back in the day was masterful at it. You know what I mean? Like, they need those people that can just talk. They don't always need to be in the ring because you got to fill up freaking 5 hours plus a week. I have no problem with Elias not getting a ton of matches. He's still getting time. That's what counts. That's the real estate in the world of wrestling.
That is true.
All right, guys. Let's move on. Let's talk Baron Corbin versus Kurt Angle in Kurt Angle's retirement match. Russ, I know Kurt Angle was your boy, so I'm gonna let you take this one.
It was a little bit emotional, you know. Kurt was my boy back before Seth Rollins became my boy. But match wise, honestly, I thought it was decent. Perfectly placed again. You need something to come down from that horrific battle for Triple H and Batista. Well placed. Didn't waste my time. Baron Corbin was the right choice for this match. Perfect foil for Kurt. He needed this slow pace. And I thought they did a really good job. Delivered. Corbin. And I figured Kurt would lose. This felt like usually retirement matches the retiree usually loses. Not always, but usually. And I know Kurt wants to give back. And I think he believes in Baron. And Baron needed this heel grasp. I'm going to let Kent talk more about it because this is his boy, but this was well done. I would say a 5.9. I want to give it a 6, but honestly, it's still in a cuff where I probably wouldn't watch it again. But this was good, and it was well done. Kent?
Yeah, I'll give it a 5.9, 6.0, someplace right around there, because it was, I don't even know if it was 5 minutes. Kurt was slow in plotting, but Kurt got to hit all of his marquee spots, and that also hurt him with the moonsault, which led to Corbin. I don't know if he hit one move or if he hit a move and then end of days, but either way, Corbin got like nothing. All he got was pretty much the last 10 seconds of the match. Fine. That's fine. You know, because I sat there and I thought after the beginning of the show, I'm like, God, my boy's not going to do as much as Russ's boy. But then I thought about it. I was like, no. My boy did more. Russ's boy, I mean, he has a fruit roll-up.
He has a universal championship.
Yeah, fruit roll-up. Strawberry flavored. Okay? Now, my boy retired a Hall of Famer and an Olympic gold medalist. Your guy just slayed some part-timer that doesn't want to be there, and you have a fucking fruit snack to show for it. I mean, this was a glorious evening for me, and I loved it. I loved that Corbin gave Kurt the ring immediately. Like, I don't know if Baron celebrated for more than 5 seconds.
Yeah, he just ducked right out. It was like, yeah, whoop.
And everything worked until Monday. And then I had to get really, like, I got speared off of my high horse on Monday. Thank you, Lars Sullivan, you useless fuck.
Yeah, that was pretty pointless. Yeah. So pointless. All right, next match. We have the Intercontinental Championship, Finn Balor versus Bobby Lashley. I'm sorry, it was Demon Finn Balor who came out. And Demon Finn Balor is now the Intercontinental Champion. Kent, talk to me.
This match flowed really well and then just was abrupt. For what little bit we had, it was actually really good, the match. The entrances were... I did not give three fucks about the Demon. Does anybody remember, like, back in NXT where, like, there'd be a theme to what he did? There was no... This was generic. There wasn't even, like, smoke machine, fog machine. It was just, okay, he sat in a chair and got painted for 4 hours and came out and crawled a little bit and had a 5-minute match and wham, bam, whatever. This match shouldn't have gotten cut as short as it did because those guys were in a really good rhythm. They both came to play, and I not that I'm for extending a 7.5-hour long show by no means, but 5 minutes would not have killed any of us at that point. It really wouldn't have, and it would have made this, I think this would have been memorable. Instead, this was one of the worst matches on the card, in my opinion. I would give it a 4 because I felt they flowed, but abrupt ending is abrupt.
Russ?
Yeah, I love Finn's entrance, and this just felt like mediocre. This is WrestleMania. This should have been epic, and it wasn't. But I still like his entrance because I love the music. I liked the match up for what it was. These guys actually have some good chemistry. They actually play well together. Bobby can wrestle, and he can do it really well against Finn, and I don't know, they just have a really good chemistry, so I liked the match. I hated the ending, because as much as I like the Demon Finn Balor winning the Demon, there was no rhyme or reason to have the Demon, first of all, so that's stupid, and then, because they don't tell us why he was the Demon. Like, yeah, you're right, NXT, there was reasons why the Demon came out. There's no reason why the Demon came out for this.
It's not like he had, like, he got beat down and had, like, this epic right. comeback that would serve a purpose. It did, the Demon aspect served no right. purpose. I agree with you 100%.
It's just like, oh, let's put the Demon on because it's WrestleMania. No, that's not the reason to do it. Now, with that said, the other reason I hated this was, didn't he just have the goddamn belt at Fastlane? Why take it off of him? Or why take it off of Bobby at Royal Rumble to give it to Finn at Royal Rumble? What was the point of that? Why couldn't Bobby keep it until WrestleMania? And then have Finn. This would have been the perfect story. Bobby beats Finn at Royal Rumble. Bobby beats Finn at Fastlane. Wow, Finn can't get it done. Oh, Finn becomes the Demon. Oh, Finn wins. Holy crap. There you go. There's your story. You blew it because it sucked. I don't like that Finn won, tell you the truth. I thought Bobby should have kept it.
You have to think about this. Over the past 6 months, it's only been 6 months, that belt has changed hands 5 times, from Seth to Dean to Bobby to Finn to Bobby to Finn. That's 5 times in 6 months.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it bouncing back and forth if you're telling, like, an epic rivalry, but I don't think they're going to go anyplace with this, so it only works Dolph and Miz, for instance, when they were changing it back and forth. It built up to that great match, and it made sense. This hasn't served a purpose,
no,
has
not at
it?
All. So, for what it was, I mean, and these guys put on some decent matches. Even with this 5-minuter, this was good. But you're right, it ended way too, like, I was shocked that it ended. I was like, what the hell's going on? Why is it ending now? All right, whatever. And I mean, I looked at the time, I was like, oh, crap, look what time it is. But, yeah, 4. This was the... Was it the worst thing that happened? Maybe, yeah, I'm going to say a 4. It might not have been the worst, but it definitely wasn't. It wasn't good. And I really dislike how they treated it.
Would you agree that this is the thing that underwhelmed or underperformed you the most on the card?
If given it 5 more minutes, I think it would have performed fine. I would have upped it.
I would have bumped it up to a 6.5 if they kept the rate they were going.
It ended so quickly, and don't get me wrong. At this point, I was like, please end, because I wanted to go to bed. But this needed 5 more minutes. So, 4.4, I'll give it a 4.2. It wasn't bad. It just, I didn't care.
All right, guys, and last but certainly not least, we have our main event, the winner-take-all Raw and SmackDown Women's Championship match, Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair. Becky Lynch is now the Raw and SmackDown Women's Champion. This match discussion, listeners, is also brought to you by our segment, Are You Not Entertained? Keep in mind, I was sleeping when this match occurred. I woke up the next morning to read the results. I was happy with the result. I'm glad Becky won. Actually, when I looked up the result, I said, yeah, Charlotte probably won, didn't she? And then I saw that Becky won, and I was good with that. I did see the ending, and that was the thing that keeps me from saying I was completely entertained by the results that I read. Russ?
All right, this was weird. First of all, I am so glad. At this point, I was tapping out. I was like, I'll just go watch this in bed. If I fall asleep, I fall asleep. So I missed the entrances. So I'll let Kent hit on the entrances. But match-wise, not bad. A couple of mistakes here and there, especially the end. The end had to be a botch, right? Are we all in agreement that end was not the way it was supposed to end?
Yeah, the ref's already been punished.
I was about to say, because that made no sense to me. It ended so quickly. And Ronda had her friggin' shoulder up even before the 3 count was over with anyway.
Wait, can we discuss this for a second, though? The ref got punished, and his logic was he knew what the ending of the match was. He didn't want to ruin the ending. Do you put all the blame on the ref?
Well, but he wouldn't have ruined the ending. Because
it was supposed to end with a crucifix. It was supposed to end with a crucifix pin. That was known. So there was the crucifix pin, and he... I'm sorry, I don't know. I feel like I don't 100% blame him.
Yeah.
Why would you do the same...
When
do you ever see a crucifix twice in a match?
You're right. You're right. There's that point. They need to make it clear to the ref. If the ref was actually looking, he would have seen Ronda lift her. Ronda got out before the 3 ended. Now, they can use this to their advantage later on if Ronda comes back, but I'm assuming Ronda's not coming back at this point. But I could be wrong. They could use this to their advantage. She didn't actually lose, because she didn't. I mean, because you and I were discussing, like, did she get her shoulder up? And she did, clearly. It was clearly up before the 3. Now, with that said, match-wise, honestly, this wasn't bad. Kent and I, the entire evening, we were going, wow, this has been really good. This has been really good. They're going to ruin it at the end. And they did. Kudos to them. They didn't ruin it. They did the right thing here. Becky deserved the belts. But they effed this storyline up in about, what, February? Right? Right around there? Maybe a little bit earlier. Maybe Royal Rumble.
Yeah, but Benny Hill.
No. What brought it back. That's what brought it back. Because at this point, we were ending. And then Benny Hill just like, yeah, baby, I'm back on board. I really liked the match until the end. The ending was just weird to me. And now we know why. The ref botched. Even the women don't botch. Someone botches in their matches. Good job, ref. I liked it. I thought this was good. I would give it a 5.3. That's what I would say.
How about you?
Oh, and I was entertained. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I was entertained. I would give it probably I don't know. It didn't reach a 6 for me, but 5.7, 5.8, someplace in there. Honestly, I don't... When I watched it, in my head, I'm sitting there thinking, when Rhonda does return, there's your storyline. So, to me, I'm fine with that. I'm fine, even if it was a real-life mistake. There you go. Like, that botch gives you the in for the story. The entrances. Let's dive into this worldwide pit of shit. Wow. Joan Jett sounds like garbage. I don't know if I messaged Russ or Twan, but I was like, did anybody bother to do one freaking sound check?
It was to me, yes.
Because, like, that sounded so bad. Like, I didn't expect it to sound like, you know, perfect. I didn't expect it to sound like Living Color when they played Punk Out, because that was the greatest performance live in WrestleMania history, even behind Salt and Peppa. Possibly not behind... Lemmy is his own category. But, like, that was such a bad performance. I was blown away. But before that, we saw helicopters in the sky. And then afterwards, we saw, like, Charlotte get out of a helicopter, walk into the arena. So... we're led to believe that Charlotte's been in the air for like 7 hours just hanging out in a helicopter. That's the story they're trying to convey to us. And then she wore her wrestling gear, by the way, in that chopper. So I guess we're led to believe she got in her wrestling attire for a helicopter ride for 7 hours and then showed up late to the show just for that. That was so dumb. And then they didn't give Becky anything special. She just came out. Same generic music. They still haven't changed it. Really driving me nuts. And it was what it was. The bump that Rhonda took, I'm still convinced that the intention was for Becky, when she did the sliding drop kick, to propel Rhonda out farther. So when Rhonda dropped, she would drop, you know, like a normal bump. Instead, she didn't get propelled out far enough. Her ass hits the ring
her
apron
cossacks,
corner,
believe,
and then
right?
just
her
falls
cossacks.
On her head.
I believe she hit her cossacks.
Russ, I don't believe in swearing on this podcast.
That looked painful. Like, I thought for sure she might have... I thought she might have either bruised her tailbone or broke it, honestly, because she hit so hard.
Out of all things that she hurt, it was ended up being her freaking hand that she broke. I was like, okay. And, goddamn it, I hate to say it, Charlotte's Spanish Fly looked really good. Apparently getting a little bit of Andrade in you goes a long way. As far as talent goes. So, I mean, maybe she could become a better wrestler with more afternoon delay.
So what you're saying is she got some Andrade juice, and it's you know, flowing through her system now.
Well, actually... for someone who actually follows her on Instagram.
Shame.
Yes, I do. I know. She was actually down in Mexico, I think, training. Not just him, but with, like, Roosh and the rest of the Los Ingobernables guys.
Are you trying to start a rumor here, Carrie? Because I don't like what you're insinuating here. I like to think of Rebecca Fleer as a good, wholesome girl here. And now you're telling me she's...
Ashley.
Damn, I thought it was Rebecca. I ruined it.
Rebecca, no, that's yeah, Becky Lynch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ashley Fleer is a good, wholesome girl here, and what you're telling me is she's training with more than one guy? Carrie.
She was training, wrestling training. Get your head out of the dang gutter.
Oh, God, are we going to be turning the page on this storyline in a few months?
So.
Is Alberto Del Rio involved here?
Oh, God, I hope not. Especially since didn't he break up with Charlotte for Paige?
Oh my God. I think
he did. I think you're right.
Oh God.
Or Charlotte broke up with him. I don't know.
Yeah. Either way, you know what? I have to give props to Charlotte. She performed, everybody performed really much better than I anticipated. This match went better than anticipated. This whole thing went better than anticipated. That's why I don't come here angry. For once. It feels weird.
I think if Charlotte won, we'd be angry.
Oh, I was told... like, that was the thing. Like, the whole night, I kept going, it's gonna fucking happen. It's gonna ruin what was you know, up to that point, a great night. I kept saying, you know, if they end WrestleMania right now, I'd be fine with it. And then they'd put on another good match and another good match. And I kept saying, yep, just end it now. Come on, something happened.
And here's the other thing. Everything played out the way it should have. So you're thinking, oh, crap, they're totally screwing this up at the end. And they didn't.
There was no twist. There was no nothing, which...
Me too.
I'm fine with.
You need it every once in a while. You need something to happen the way it's supposed to, and this did. This delivered. This WrestleMania delivered. So now the question is this: Ken, is it because we get together it gets ruined?
Well, we had the option to go to it, being in our home state. We refused to. We were both sick as hell, and we weren't together. So lessons have been learned yes. here about how to craft a perfect Mania. Russ and I have to be sick. It has to be in New York, and we can't watch it together.
Right. That's a perfect storm.
We are the anti-Captain Planet, apparently. Our powers cannot combine.
We're good. So, you know, separate but together. But when we're together, you know, it's like Kevin Owens and AJ. Doesn't quite work that well.
So guys, let's go ahead and just wrap this discussion up and kind of. Talk about the show overall. I'll be honest. I went in with extremely low expectations, which it helped. They exceeded my expectations and then some. I really don't see any bad matches across the card, even the ones I didn't see because I was sleeping. With that said, though, that is... the sticking point for me. 7.5 hours is too damn long for a wrestling show. Way too long. If I'm falling asleep and there's still 2 hours to go, your show's too long. Because I know there's other people out there who are having the exact same problem. And also, I mean, you also have to look at the crowd. The crowd at that point was probably like, oh my god, I've been here for 7.5 hours. I'm still having a good time. But oh my god, it's 12 o'clock and I just missed the last train into Manhattan or Secaucus and I'm going to be stuck at MetLife Stadium until 3 in the morning because I can't get an Uber or a bus. Did you guys hear about that, by the way?
No, but I don't pay attention.
Yeah, that was such a joke in that they blamed WWE. Everybody knew it was ending at that time. They apparently didn't get the memo and thought it was ending at 10:30 and they blamed WWE for that somehow.
Ah, good old New Jersey.
Nobody did their homework.
Oh, obviously not. I mean, if you paid attention to last year's didn't end at 10:30.
Ended at 11:30.
No, it ended at 12:15, yeah. Didn't it? Because I remember it was like, oh my god, please end so I can go to bed. It was a little after 12 because I didn't get home till about 12:30, 1 o'clock last year. I remember.
Yeah, you're right. You were. Yeah.
So they're dumb if they didn't think it was going to end before. I thought this was ending around 12:30, honestly, and it did. The crowd. I'll just say this. The crowd at the end, total fairness, they were done. Like, Becky did not get the reaction she should have. But at that point, everyone was done. Like, it was like, yeah, okay, we're done. Let's get out of here. Right?
Yeah, I mean, that place cleared out in, like, 15 minutes after the last match.
It was historic.
Yes, even first time ever.
First time ever. Good. So, overall thoughts, Kent?
What I'm going to say, nobody's going to agree with, and I don't give a fuck anymore. I don't care. I'm giving WrestleMania 35 an 8.0 overall. I'm taking away the idea of length because the length was a huge issue. I don't think anybody alive is disagreeing with the length. I'm grading it strictly on the quality and matches and stories presented to us. You don't see a show have that much consistency throughout. The fact that they strung along 16 matches and by and large it almost all entirely made sense and was pretty much all what most people wanted. I know that the sum of the parts does not equal 8. I get that. But when we grade a pay-per-view, it never does anyways. We have to think about an overall spectrum. And in this particular case... this is the high watermark for WWE in a long-ass time. And it needs to be rewarded because we may not see that again until, I don't know. I grow hair. We don't know. So I'm going to go with an 8.0 and say that I'm very happy and impressed and just wished it had been shorter.
Russ, how about you?
So here's the nice thing. I started it about 7:20-ish, 7:25, whenever I messaged you, Kent. And yes, even for me, by the end of it, I was pretty much done. I wanted to go to bed. And I had only seen it for 5 hours. So anybody who started at 5 and went till 12:30, kudos to you. I don't think I could have done it. I then had to go back and watch the pre-show on Monday. But for me, because I had only 5.5 hours, I really enjoyed this. I got to fast forward through most of the crap. And everything just was right. They flowed this perfectly. The matches were exactly where they needed to be. The Daniel Bryan match, yes, I thought it was early, but honestly, it needed to be there because to get the crowd reaction that they wanted. That was the only way, because if this was towards the end, the crowd was done. Yeah, it kind of screwed Becky and Ronda and Charlotte, but I think the ending really messed that up. The botched ending messed that up, and that's not their fault. That's the ref's fault. I'll blame the ref. I get why he made the mistake, but that was definitely because of him. With that said, this was the first year I finally went into WrestleMania going, nope, not going to get me excited. What do? They knock it out of the park. How come when I'm going in for the first time at WrestleMania going, nope, it's not going to be that great, not going to be that good, and they nail it? This has been the best WrestleMania in almost a decade, if not more than a decade. Honestly?
Yeah. Yeah, if you go back to WrestleMania 25, that was the epic Shawn versus Taker Part 1. And that was probably the last great WrestleMania prior to this one. We've had a lot of terrible ones lately.
This was good, top to bottom. I enjoyed myself. I'm not going to go as far as Kent, but I will reward WrestleMania with a 7.5. Really good. I would definitely watch this again. It's got some great moments. It's the best WrestleMania we've had in years. You got to reward him for doing the right thing. So I'm going to do the right thing. 7.5.
I'm with you guys there. I'll go 7.5 as well. It exceeded my expectations, which, as I said, were low, and I think that all of our expectations were low for this.
Because we've been burned too many times.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So
there you go, listeners. Our thoughts on WrestleMania. The week is now over. What are you guys looking forward to next week? I think it's time for our segment. I'm not finished with you yet. I'm looking forward to a well-deserved break. How about you, Kent?
I'm looking forward to see how many of my predictions are right in the Superstar Shakeup. I made some predictions at 9deuce.com/blogs/ in the SmackDown 5 count. I did 13 picks for each side because every year, like, they show like a handful of them, but there's always some behind the scenes stuff that's reported on WWE.com. So I went some high, some low. I'm curious how well I did. I'm also curious about whatever the next big story may be, because there's got to be something eventually.
How about you, Russ?
Yeah, looking forward to the Superstar Shakeup. Like Ken is, I don't know much else to look forward to because they really didn't give us much this Raw and SmackDown. It kind of just felt like more of a closing segment to WrestleMania. Like, we're starting all over. Like, next week is our new year. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they give us next week. I think that's where we're going to get a lot of our big shocks. And like you, Carrie, looking forward to a nice little break.
But before we get to that break, it's time to play our favorite game, guys. It is time, listeners, for Guess the Wrestler. The rules of Guess the Wrestler. Very simple. Each week, one of us picks the wrestler. This week, it's my turn. And it's up to the other two to guess who that wrestler is using 9 questions and 2 guesses. Each week, there are 2 gimme answers, which I will provide the guys now. This is a male wrestler and he is a former wrestler.
All right, well, let's start with the old traditional, what era would we know them from?
His career has spanned from pre-Attitude Era through pretty much the present.
Okay, where would we know him mostly from, though? What era? Where would we be like, okay, that's his era? Even if it goes beyond it.
Let's go Attitude Era.
Yes, Kent. I know you're deep in thought. Did Kent forget we were recording? Carrie, you're pulling a Russ, so...
Oh, am I?
Yep.
Oh, am I?
That's great.
It happens. Great. It has to happen at least every podcast. One of us has to talk
about
it.
So Carrie pulled a Russ. It just has to happen. Kent left us while we were in the middle of Guess the Wrestler.
I have drank so much fluid during this podcast. I'm like dying here. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we got a game to play. I'm like, I can't.
All right, your turn. So I asked what era we would know them from. Did you get the gimmies? I don't know if you'd left or not. I wasn't sure.
No.
Okay, the gimmies were
male former, and former.
And I asked what era we know them from most. And she said Attitude Era, although it spanned pre-Attitude Era to almost the present.
Okay. Out of the three major federations at the time, WCW, ECW, and WWE, which of those did they wrestle for?
WCW and a stint in WWE. Actually, both.
No ECW?
No.
Not even WWE, ECW?
No.
Okay, those don't count as questions. We were just clarifying. All right, my question. Major title.
World Heavyweight Championship.
WCW? WWE? Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Was this person ever a member of the NWO?
No.
Well, shit, that narrows it down to like five people.
Oh, man. Probably. Unless they weren't there for they were in WWE at that point. Did I just ruin your...
There's only a handful of people this feasibly could be. I'm not going to look up WCW World Champs like somebody
what?
Else
What? I would never do that.
As the smirk comes across the face.
I would never do that, Ken. I don't know WCW. All right.
I mean, it could be Ron Simmons. It could be DDP.
Well, let's get this one out of the way. The 265 over under.
Let me look this up quickly. Give me 1 second. Under 265.
Can I get a hair color? Back when they were champion.
Blonde.
Definitely could be
yes,
Farouk.
Yes, 100% Farouk. It has to be. All right, so... I feel like we've done DDP. But does he have yoga? Okay, so
it's no.
Who's the blonde?
Okay. Is this guy currently in the WWE Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Could be Sting.
Good.
But Sting was a member of NWO
Wolfpack. Yeah,
Wolfpack,
right? Yeah, so he's not a...
Yeah. Okay. Blonde. World champion.
I'm trying to think of blondes from that era. All I can think of is Hogan. Flair.
Was Sid ever champion?
Flair wasn't Flair? And he's not recent retired. He's been retired for a while. Was Sid ever part of NWO?
I don't think so.
All right. Ring attire. Like singlet, just underwear, normal clothes. What do you got for us? Like, what is the normal wear?
Trunks.
And you did say under on the 265.
Yeah. See, that's why I don't think it's Sid, right? Can't be
so
Sid.
So it's not Sid. No, yeah. Sid's over 3. Can't be Vader. I don't know. I think Vader was Ginger,
yeah,
actually.
Was.
He's in the Hall of
Jeff
Fame.
Was, no, he was W. He was NWO. So that's out.
Yeah, oh God! NWO. Yeah. All right, this might help. Was he a world champion of WCW during the Monday Night Wars?
No.
Ooh, so he has to be.
Okay. That would be the assumption. Can't be after because WCW lost. It can't be Dusty.
It can't be. The only person to keep on coming back to is Flair.
But I mean, you could ask if this person's a 2-time Hall of Famer. That would limit it to 4 people. And it wouldn't be Booker T or Brett.
Yes, obviously. Or Sean.
Or Sean.
It would have to be. Okay, is it a 2-time Hall of Famer?
Yes.
All right, now ask the stupid questions.
Is it Booker T?
Does this person have a real name and above the name Fleer?
Yes.
Did this person have a really bad 70th birthday party on Raw?
Yes.
Did I get to see him live win his first WWF championship?
Yes, apparently. Yes, he did.
I'm going to say yes.
Yes. 90. The year was 90, yep. 92.
Did this person provide the winning shot to Batista, who ruined his 70th birthday?
Yes. Yes, he did.
All right. I'm going to guess right. Richard Fleer.
And you would be correct. Or as we all know him, Ric Flair. And who I will probably get to sail from Miami to the Bahamas with in next January because he's on the Chris Jericho cruise.
Which is amazing.
Too.
I'm surprised WWE's letting him do that. But I guess he's retired, so it doesn't matter. But
I mean, Nash and Hall are on that. X-Pac's on that.
Rick probably just went, hey, Hunter, I'm going on a cruise. Okay, Nate, anything you want. Do you want Charlotte to have 9 more championships? You
now,
got it.
I thought Flair was part of NWO.
According to his Wikipedia page, all it mentions was a feud with NWO. From 96 to 99.
The big one was when they had the fake Sting. Because Sting was going to be on the same team with Flair, Arn, and Luger, and then Sting came out, and everybody was pissed off at Sting, and then Sting came out again. And it was like, oh. That was Fall Brawl 96, I think. Yeah.
All right.
Well, there you have it, listeners. Another week has come to a close. Kent, any announcements for our listeners?
Okay, so there is a lot of stuff at 9deuce.com in regard to blogs because there's a different format going on. So there's more content and it's quicker. So if you want Raw, you'll have Raw by Tuesday. If you want SmackDown, you'll have it by Wednesday. NXT, you'll have it by Thursday. This week, obviously, there's 3 podcasts because Carrie and I did G1 Supercard. All 3 of us just did NXT, and now we did WrestleMania. On top of that, there's going to be the horror movie top 10 supernatural movies from the 2000s. And I think there's going to be a blog about Sinister 1 and 2. And there's going to also be a top MCU Marvel Comic Universe film list that we're bringing to you. Goddamn, we're doing a lot. But most importantly, I think we can all agree, we are taking the next 4 weeks off from this podcast. Can I get an amen?
And it's amen. Not because we don't love doing it. We just need a break. We do it every week. So
the burnout is real, listeners.
And I think this is a good time to take a break. When we come back, we'll be charged, and we'll have a lot to talk about. So
we'll have an idea of what happened. Like, instead of just instant reaction of the superstar shakeup, we'll actually have an idea of where things may be leading. So that'll be good.
And I'll have more things for Carrie's Corner because AEW will be starting up.
Oh, yay. That's great. Can't wait. I mean,
did you hear about that no-name person that just signed with AEW? Good job.
You know what the funny part is? I have absolutely...
Have you seen her? You should watch some of her matches. She is extremely talented.
I'll say this. I have absolutely no problems with AEW. I'm kind of interested in it. I just love picking on Carrie. It's so much more fun.
And that's been going on for decades, guys. I've known Russell a long time, and he loves to pick on me.
So I am looking forward to this nice break. When we come back, it'll be great. And hopefully, just don't forget, folks, 4 weeks from now, we're back. So
Be on the lookout for our return show. While we're on hiatus, go ahead. If you like what you hear here, listen to some of our previous episodes. You can do that at 90s.com. You can do that on iTunes or Google Podcast, I believe. And if you're on either iTunes or Google Podcast, go ahead, hit rate, review, subscribe, and just drop us a line. Let us know what you think. We like feedback. Negative feedback goes to Russ. Positive feedback goes to Kent. I'd point that out.
I kind of forgot something important. Winter is coming Sunday.
Yeah. Wait, is this Sunday, really?
I cannot wait.
Oh, I thought it was next Sunday.
Yeah, so... No, so check out... Nine Deuce will have every week a blog for that, too. I don't know how I managed to forget that, because that's probably going to be my best viewing thing of the year. So, kind of important.
Nah.
Yay, Game of Thrones! I'm so excited. I'm excited and sad at the same time, because I don't want to see this show end, but I know it has to.
I mean, when we come back, that's what we're talking about, right? Is Game of Thrones? Fuck
us. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Because it'll be the week before the finale.
No, there's 8 episodes. There's no way.
So let's do this.
Really, Russ?
There's only doing. No. Wait, I thought they said they were doing 8. What?
Oh, 5.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, never mind. I was going to kind of hold off on it a little bit, give myself a bit of a. I want to run them off.
Nope. Everything's going to be must-see, Russ.
Run
everything.
And go. Holy crap. I got to start watching again because I kind of want to watch it from the beginning, but.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Another week. Shit. Okay, well. I mean, I already started. That's what I'm saying. All right, let's end this podcast.
But look at it this way. Yeah, absolutely. But all I have to say is this one last thing. If Game of Thrones is awesome and wrestling sucks when we come back, we'll just talk about Game of Thrones. Works for me. All right, listeners, we'll see you in 4 weeks. Enjoy...
wrestling?
Enjoy wrestling. Superstar shakeup should make things interesting. New storylines. We got champions we all want. It's feels like a good time to be a wrestling fan again. And with that, from Russ, Kent, and myself, we wish you all a good night, and we'll see you all really, really soon.
Bye, y'all.
Wiener, wiener, wiener.